really hurt, you prick.
BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome back to me. I'm finally back this week. I've stopped sciencing, and I'm able to podcast once again. Hello, I'm Dan. I'm one of your hosts. If you've only started listening over the past few weeks, you're probably going, who the blooming heck is that bloke? Well, it's me. I'm Dan. I'm joined by the other two blokes who you've probably heard of before. One of them is Coalman.
Hi! Have you been
the
gone?
The other one is... What?
Were you gone somewhere?
Yeah, so I was sciencing.
Oh, well done.
I'm more worried that you've stopped sciencing. This is a bad time to stop sciencing.
Well, I'm having a break.
It's a temporary reprieve.
I'm allowed to have a break from the science.
Okay.
Tell that to the government.
Boom! Got him! Got him!
Sick! Sick science burn right there.
Take that, Boris.
Such a sick science burn, it was almost hydrochloric in nature.
like the hydrochloric...
I had to get my other board up, sorry.
Jesus. And that other one's Tim, by the way.
Hello.
Yep, that's about right. I concur. So how the devil have you blokes been in my absence?
Yeah, pretty active, but pretty good.
Working.
Pretty active?
Yes. I have not active playing video games, I would say. More
yes,
in the decorating
that's not active.
Type. Variety.
You could be active. You could be getting your Wii Fit on.
Ooh.
You could be getting your Ring Fit fitted.
Seeing a lot of people enjoying that in lockdown. It looks
well,
okay.
Enjoying the old
Ring Fit thing.
Switch. Yeah, well, you
I
can now buy them again
Rick,
by the looks of things.
Friend of the show, Rick, has been one of the people I've seen that has been enjoying it.
Good for him.
Actually, it's quite awesome, I have to say.
Yeah, it looks all right.
I've been too busy with work and then doing silly things for the site.
Yes, yeah. And also buying amazing Hawaiian shirts. Those of you who, like all of you who are listening to this, which is virtually everyone apart from me, Coleman and Tim, Coleman is bringing his A game with Hawaiian shirts this week.
If the video version, I should also say, I changed the video format last week, so we had cameras and stuff. That was the first time we've done that. And if it works again this week, you can look at my cool Hawaiian shirt. But this is one of many Hawaiian shirts that I own, Dan, because I am
I secretly wish I'd known this was going to be filmed and put up before just romping up this week. But
yes.
Never mind.
Yeah, that would have been good information. Or even better information, like, before last week as well, you know. But hey. But, like, that's fine. I mean, like...
I've been trying for about a month, and then the last week was the first one that worked, so...
Right. Next time, though, if we're, like, all going to come in Max Payne cosplay, then give us a warning, yeah. And we will.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea. yeah, this is one of many Hawaiian shirts I own, and because I am indeed a large, happy guy, so I wear Hawaiian shirts.
Oh, you're one of those twats who wears aviator sunglasses indoors,
aren't
you? Oh,
sorry, I'm not allowed to do that. Hold on.
They bet not be...
oh,
yeah,
wait,
that's
now you can
much
see all
better.
The things are on my screen. Take
yeah,
that.
There we go. Alrighty.
Alrighty.
Alright. Alrighter. So before I descend into a ill-advised, impromptu reef tribute, Rocksteady... London-based video game developer have been in some hot water recently. So what's the dealio there, boys?
Okay, so The Guardian, they published a report regarding a letter which was signed by more than half of Rocksteady's female employees back in November in 2018 that cited things like sexual harassment and other things that have been experienced within the workplace that is not good for any company to have. And... that's kind of garnered widespread attraction over this. I think it was today, in fact, the majority of this started coming out.
I think it's last few days because I was
last few days. Sorry, I apologize. And it's one of those things that it kind of it knocked me back a bit because when they go, "Hey, Ubisoft got a company full of people that are causing problems," I go, "Yeah, okay, I could see that in a big company like that." When I hear it's Rocksteady, which is one of my genuinely favorite developers, it's a bit of a knockback because it's like you just found out your mate's a Nazi or something, you know?
Yeah, you don't like to hear it from any company, but yeah, it does kind of hit home when it's not just. the fact that I know they're a developer you love, and you've probably got a bit more affinity for them than me just because of the Batman thing. But yeah, like they're a developer I really like and respect as well, but also they're really local to me. So like they're you know, right on my back door sort of thing. So yeah, it feels, you know, a bit close to home on a couple of fronts sort of thing. Yeah, it's just another set of claims, it does seem to be prevalent throughout the industry, which is the biggest problem for me at the moment. Generally, it's like, do I really want to be heavily supporting an industry? And I don't just mean, you know, in terms of my money and giving stuff like that, but doing stuff like we're doing now, like podcasting and talking about stuff. It's supposed to be a nice escape and release, and when these things keep on coming out, it's not just the fact that, you know, it's getting over the fact that it's not a nice thing to have to talk about. It's just the fact that, really, again, like, it just seems endemic throughout the industry and something that definitely needs to be addressed and changed as it goes, basically.
I mean, the one thing I would say is that I think, and not that this makes this right, but it is endemic through so many industries.
Yes.
Particularly those in the entertainment field. And that doesn't make it right. Stuff needs to change. And, you know, whilst obviously this is particularly close to home for people such as us who kind of, you know, live and breathe gaming a bit more than perhaps we arguably should, in the views of many.
That's what our families tell us. Yep. I said, that's what our families tell us.
Oh, indeed. Do yours still talk to you? Brilliant. You lucky bugger. But
after episode 400, they don't.
Yeah, they're really, yeah. I don't think that's unique to your family, though. So what on earth was I saying? Yeah, I mean, it's endemic in a lot of the entertainment industry, and I think, you know, we don't necessarily want to do ourselves a disservice by singling the video gaming industry out. But again, that sounds like I'm making an excuse. I'm not making an excuse. It's something that's far too common in the entertainment industry as a whole. It must change. People need to stop being objectified, no matter what gender or sexual orientation or gender identity they have. You know, none of that is right.
On that note as well, there's also been some other details coming out about Ubisoft and about them covering up, I think, Ubisoft Quebec and Ubisoft Shanghai, I think, possibly. But anyway, two of the Ubisoft studios, and just the kind of the way they would, you know, sort of sweep it under the rug, or in one case, the head of the studio actually coming in and saving someone that was up for possibly losing their job because of allegations and stuff. It's really not a good look, and like, yeah, just it's a horrible. I don't know about you. I have a hard time separating the person from, you know, the artist from the art type thing. I can't enjoy Kanye West's music as much as I used to. I don't enjoy Kevin Spacey films as much as I used to. Every time I see the Weinstein logo come up at the beginning of a film, like, ooh, kind of, you know, like, I have a reaction to those things, and I can't help not feeling like I don't want to support an industry that supports these type of not just these allegations, but, you know, supports a culture where these allegations are all too prevalent, basically.
So again, I mean, I think it's interesting, and it's semantics probably, but, you know, that you're using the word allegations there. I mean, I actually think it's the step, you know, I think if people have concerns, absolutely right, they should be able to voice those concerns.
Yeah.
On the flip side, you know, just because someone is alleged to have done something doesn't necessarily mean it has happened. It seems, sadly, in many of these cases recently, that is indeed the case.
Yeah.
But I think what actually needs to be looked at is why the entertainment industry in particular is an enabler of this kind of behavior. I actually think that's the thing that ultimately needs to change. Yes, these people need to be held to account, but it's the fact that the system exists, that they can get away with it, to me, is the bigger issue.
So this kind of followed on with a video from Kim McCaskill, she was the senior scriptwriter for the upcoming game Suicide Kill the Justice League. I'm not sure the reasons why she left, but she put up a video, it's about 15 minutes on YouTube, giving her account of working there, which she said that 97% of the employees at Rocksteady were supportive of her as a woman and a developer. It's unfortunate that one or two people weren't so good at that when stuff like this happens and that the company is so inept to limit this stuff. So it does seem like, yeah, it's one or two bad eggs that are giving the rest of the workplace the bad name, but then also the company for not following up correctly on how to deal with those kind of allegations.
Yeah, and it seems that's one of the sort of points I didn't cover in Ubisoft, in the Ubisoft allegations that came out as well. Like, it seems to be that often these people are in a position of power, are abusing that power, but are deemed either necessary or necessary evil, or yeah, thought of as someone that just gets things done, and so they need to be in the position they are. And they often, you know, it's not just the sexual allegations in the Ubisoft case, at least. There's also allegations of just general bullying, harassment, and general kind of homophobia and other such like thing, and homophobic comics and stuff, and making people cry in meetings and all that type of stuff. Like, yeah, I mean,
they're basically, they're multi-talented assholes. They could be assholes in many ways.
Yeah, I think another big problem with this is when it's big companies as well that are so kind of focal in the media. When especially like Rocksteady's last game was Arkham Knight, came out 5 years ago. People that are fans of Arkham Knight are watching Rocksteady, waiting for the next game to come out. Especially there's been rumblings of what the game is. So they're, the focus is on them. When you're a company that has the focus on you, you maybe don't want to go, oh, by the way, there was someone who's been causing some kind of toxic workplace to be experienced by everyone else, because they don't want that to then be reported online or however.
But I think the headline that someone got fired for this,
yeah,
is better than the headline someone didn't get fired for this and it got swept under the rug.
I agree.
Again.
I'm just pointing,
you know,
I'm trying to find some kind of logic as to why you would allow it to go on.
Yeah, but if you create a culture where that's tolerated for whatever reason, like, then you are by definition quite, you know, establishing that as a way and means of people to continue acting. And like, that's not like one asshole, however valuable to the company, cannot be worth ruining the working environment of everyone in it. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. I'm not excusing it at all.
I'm just trying to think some kind of logic to why you would allow it to go on, even though it is a dark logic to think. Following on from the video as well, I believe this was from today. Rocksteady actually put out a tweet with, a big tweet kind of, they showed off a letter that was, which they claimed is a voluntary response written by 7 of the 10 signatories of the original 2018 letter. Not all the people that had written the letter were named because they wanted to stay anonymous. So 7 of the 10 apparently had written this. And they claimed that immediate action was taken and kind of contradict the original the original report from The Guardian. But they put that on a tweet that they then don't allow responses to. It looks a bit shady. They haven't put out a proper response other than this so far. So,
but also the one thing that statement said, like you could have different versions of the story and they may not corroborate each other, and you could just have different people that viewed the same events a different way. Like, you know, yeah, like that's a bit he should say. The one thing that did seem to indicate is that the people that wrote this second letter that Rocksteady put up weren't happy that they had, like, that those details had been made public, because they had previously agreed with this person and generally that would not be the case, basically. So
as with all of these things, there's always a lot going on behind the scenes that we're not party to.
And it's unfortunate for the company, because you've got DC Fandom happening in, like, what, a week? Less than a week? Mm-hmm. And assumedly, right there, Rocksteady are meant to be big unveil for their new Suicide Squad game, and then they've got this hanging over them in the media.
But then you would have thought that may have influenced the timing of this. I'm not saying that was done
maybe
purely to harm or with ill intent, but...
Who knows? But
it may have been done... because it was the most effective time to actually get some traction behind the story type of thing, which
we'll, have to keep an eye on this going forward, but something that we probably won't keep an eye on going forward is this ridiculous rivalry between Epic and Apple at the moment.
I'm sure you guys talked about it previous weeks.
No.
Did you create two consecutive prog rock podcasts of silence? is that what you did? Because I'd be very impressed if that was the case. But this presumably follows on from a lot of the brouhaha surrounding Apple's App Store policies, and it's kind of conflated from there. I must admit, on a personal note, I'm really cheesed off that xCloud's never going to be a thing on iOS devices.
We did talk about that, yeah.
Yes, I'd imagine
which,
you did.
On from us reporting from that, it has been announced that it was Apple that is the reason for that.
Yes, indeed.
Which we speculated on, which didn't
indeed
know.
So basically, Apple and Google, to a lesser extent, pride themselves on the walled gardens that are their app stores, and they enjoy the luxury of being able to set the rules because they have millions of people with millions of devices.
Oh, yes.
With millions of pounds. Who
millions
want to
of
spend
Jeffries
money.
All under one roof.
Yes. Indeed. Gah, I wonder how he's doing now, Jeffrey. I think I saw him the other day. He's pimping himself out. Yeah, he's glue. Yes. Finally, he's holding society together in other ways.
Jeffrey's down the knacker's yard.
Do you know how much Pritt stick you can make out of a giraffe hoof? Loads.
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 Mate.
Wow.
Yeah. Or, anyway.
You could bond Apple and Google and Epic all back together.
You could, couldn't
Pritt
you?
Pritt Stick but,
do that. So basically, the business model...
Giraffe Pritt Stick, no.
Giraffe Pritt Stick?
Yeah. Giraffe Pritt Stick.
Yeah. Look, seriously, one giraffe would sort out...
They do Gorilla Glue.
Pritt Stick shortage problems. Exactly.
They do duct tape.
All of them. Giraffe tape is what it should be.
Oh, it's happening again. One mention of Jeffrey and I'm off.
You're off.
Yeah.
So basically, the whole business model of app stores is that they take a cut of whatever is sold, and if they're unable to do that, they're not very happy about things being offered for sale. So Fortnite...
Well, before you get to that, do you know what the cut is of...
30%.
30%, that's correct. Yeah.
30%.
Which I didn't realise it was that
Apple's
high.
App Store. Mm. Mm. And I believe that's, of course, the gross as well. So,
it is very gross.
It is very gross. It is very, very gross. A bit
Boom.
Like the process in which giraffes get melted down to make Pritt sticks.
Sorry. Oh, I won't hit the MLG horns again.
No. Oh, dear.
You will.
So
not unless
Epic.
A certain MC comes out to talk
Hang
about
on.
Fortnite.
You might, yo, it's your boy. MC McScrubble, a doubler, talking to you about the mad Fortnite news.
I don't think anyway. It works with the video.
No, it doesn't, does it? Really doesn't.
We need to get you like a pink tropical cap that says YOLO and some slatted sunglasses.
I think it would end up looking a bit more Timmy Mallet than anything else, to be perfectly
don't,
honest.
Don't
look
Timmy,
like
Mallet.
Timmy Mallet.
Yeah, thank you. Cheers. Lovely. Anyway.
Sorry, you were saying about this very important thing that we were totally taking Epic, seriously.
Epic loved money. They would like more money. So they made the decision to start selling the V-Bucks, which is Fortnite's pretend currency of choice.
They're very
bucks. A new... direct payment system, thereby cutting Apple and Google out of the picture. And understandably, they weren't particularly chuffed about this. So Fortnite has gone from the Apple and is it also Google Play stores?
Also Google Play. But what made this interesting was basically Apple first went, all right, you're out of here. And Epic went, they seemingly seem to have a lawsuit ready to go and a pre-made video ready to go, which was aping on the 1984 Apple Macintosh Super Bowl ad from the 80s. And they threw that out there. And some people went, this is gross. And some people went, yes, we want Fortnite back. Hashtag free Fortnite. And much like any great warlord, Epic had managed to amass a child army.
Yes, okay. Indeed. I mean, seriously. I mean, and I think... this is I think it's quite interesting that, and this has been quoted on Twitter as well, that essentially what people are sticking up for is one really rich company going toe-to-toe with another really rich company, and the whole purpose of Fortnite is ultimately to make a really rich company even flipping richer. So no one's doing anyone any free favours here. All of this is generating PR and advertising for Fortnite, so ultimately they probably, Epic, have done quite well out of this whole debacle. Also who have done quite well, and this is random, people are selling their iPhones, which have still got Fortnite installed on them. Yeah, it's gone full Flappy Bird, and they are selling them for tens of thousands of dollars.
You never go full Flappy Bird. Also, when that happened to Flappy Bird, like they were selling, people were putting them on eBay and then bidding on themselves to make it go higher and higher and higher. I'm assuming that's what's happening here because it looks good in a story when you virtually inflate a price tag to go, look, people are actually selling their Fortnite phones for this much.
So they don't actually sell for that much?
No, they don't sell for that. PlayStation 4s with PT installed on them weren't going for $2,000 either. You know,
My PlayStation 4 still got PT on it.
That was my retirement plan, Coleman.
Money at me.
Lost mine when I changed my hard drive. But Tim Sweeney, Tim Sweeney Todd, the demon CEO of Epic Games, he's basically falling on the sword of going, hey, we're doing something for the little guy here. Hashtag free Fortnite is not just about us making money.
Publisher,
we're saving the little guy publisher from getting it stolen. Which, if true, great. It's great. I just think they've gone a very tacky way around this, which makes it seem very, very stupid.
I mean, what do you guys feel about
free Fortnite, Dan?
Everything with my hands.
Yeah, you feel everything with your hands. There are other ways to feel things, Tim. You can also feel things without touching things. It's called emotion.
Thing is, being in my 30s, if I were to be playing Fortnite, I'd probably play it on a console of some description or a PC rather than on a mobile phone.
Yeah, I mean, but what do you guys think about the kind of the whole App Store model? I mean, do you think it's inherently bad? Do you think are you ambivalent about it?
It's always been their model. You signed up for the deal. Presumably, that deal hasn't changed massively in the time that the game has been up. So, I do think that they may be taking a big cut, but then they give you a big market to access as well. Whether or not you sign up for that deal, but I don't think you can do what Epic have done and just go, oh well, we're going to change the way we do our business on a free-to-play game and everyone has to buy all their currency through our store. Like, I don't feel either way is completely right, but I don't think either of them are either, you know. Like, I don't
like the app stores anyway, because, I mean, when you look at the... What was the one for the Xbox, Project X Cloud? They said, we're not putting this on Apple because we can't... The same thing they did with Steam. They said, we can't monitor what is put on that service, so we won't allow it. But when you look on their service, there's like... At the moment, there's probably like 100 hooky copies of Fall Guys on there. Before it was, you know, there's all these different copyright infringed versions of apps that they don't look out for, but then they say, hey, we're making sure that we can look at what's being put on our store.
There's no doubt that they pay much more attention to stuff that has potential to infringe on their own ability to earn money and related things. There's no doubt about that, right? I think my one concern are the knock-on effects from that, like, you know, might Apple remove Epic's access to development tools, and therefore does that impact indie developers who might use the Unreal Engine to develop their games? What effect does that have on them? Then that's potentially putting other people's livelihoods at risk, because, you know, two very rich groups are deciding who gets to have slightly more money than the other.
And a lot of people use Epic's engines, and that is a very real threat at the moment. The fact that Apple have said that we're taking away the ability to use Epic's engine on iOS from August the 28th. So yeah, that does screw over a bunch of developers.
FYI, total dick move.
Yeah, and Epic's filing for an injunctive release to stop that. So we'll see what happens.
But it is ironic considering that Infinity Blade, which were put together by Epic.
I was trying to remember that name last week. God damn it.
were such kind of, you know, big tentpole releases for iOS when it initially started coming together as a gaming platform.
Yeah, first game I bought on the iPad.
It's actually not a bad game.
Oh, it's great.
Three of them. Quite like Infinity
Blade.
Great
games.
I mean, alternative way of looking at things, do what I think most of us tend to do, me, myself as well, generally included.
Cup of tea and a poo. That
Stop
makes everything
playing
better.
Games on your
Have
phone and buy a Switch.
Yeah, I fully stopped playing games on my phone.
Yeah,
just mostly because I think it's making me realise that I'm a hair breadth away from needing varifocals, and that makes me feel really old.
Also, canes my battery, and then I have no battery for the vital things like phone calls.
Well, the only people I see playing phone games are people on the tube that are going to work, and they're playing like some little Candy Crush or what have you, whatever the free equivalent of, like some kind of Candy Crush, basically. Or what I thought was kids. Until a point where I was getting the bus one day. I do ride the Muggle Wagon every now and then. And there was a kid, and I'd see a kid playing something, and I had a quick look. I was like, got to see what the youth of today are into. You've got to stay relevant, hip, and with it.
He said and, with the Harry Barr references.
He was playing He was playing Fortnite. And I went, oh, a kid's playing Fortnite. Do you know what? That's running really well on the mobile. And then I realized he wasn't playing Fortnite. He was watching a YouTube video of someone playing Fortnite. So I don't even know if the kids are actually playing Fortnite on their mobiles. They're just watching people play Fortnite.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see how it would, A, be a mega enjoyable experience, or B, you would be able to be competitive in a PvP game if you're playing on your mobile, especially whilst attached to a cellular network.
Don't doubt kids' abilities with mobiles, or they'll come and kick your ass on Fortnite.
They'll lock you out and change your payment details and rinse your bank account on V-Bucks. This is
a
very real
problem.
It's
all about the V-Bucks.
Phones, they're used for social media and keeping your kids quiet. That's all I know.
We
have to move on with the news. So let's get to the Nintendo Indie World. We're not going to go through the entire thing because time. We can pick one each and we'll see how we go on. So Tim, talk about a game that you are excited about.
The one I'm... Oh, okay. I was going to say most interested in. There's one that intrigued me, but one that I'm definitely like, okay, I've had enough with almost flirting with playing your games. I need to possibly buy this and play through. It's Hades from Supergiant.
Damn it, that's the one I was going to choose.
Okay, which is already out on the PC in early access, I believe. This is this is Supergiant, which they make really nice games, and also has cross save with the PC that I. Because I wasn't interested until they said that, and then I went, "Oh, I can be playing at home, and then take it out on the Switch, and then play it back at." I'm matching up for this.
So basically, it's a roguelite meets Diablo, essentially, isn't it? It's a dungeon crawly roguey thing.
And I like the fact it looked like melee combat as well.
It had a really nice start, really nice cartoon that went along with it to kind of interest it. But I believe you're the son of Hades, Prince of the Underworld. And you're trying to escape the underworld. And that's the roguelike. And I really like this idea.
Looks cool.
Trevor, son of Hades.
Also, son of Hades. Passing mention to Bear and Breakfast, which look cute and interesting, and Manifold Garden.
Wait your turn.
Which...
You've done that your one, like, and then we go round, Tim.
Well, damn it, you know, Timothy.
I'm just mentioning them. I'm allowed to,
Dan, was your one you were excited about, Bear and Breakfast?
I like the fact, even though I've never played it in single player, I quite like the idea this will have multiplayer for the giggles and the japes, is Untitled Goose Games 2-player update.
Is that still on Xbox Game Pass, and should we play Untitled Goose Game?
Well, I tell you what, I can find out an answer to that for you right now, Sonny Jim.
So, as well as the update coming out on the 23rd of September, I believe it's also launching on Steam, itch.io, and getting a physical copy of the game as well, which I really like the look of the physical copy of the game.
Physical. It doesn't look like it's on the PC version of it.
Oh no. Oh no, Coleman.
Oh no.
Oh no.
But yeah, I like the way they introduced that in the announcement thing as well. That was quite good.
I am very excited for Manifold Garden because I finished Superliminal, the dreamscape first person puzzle game where you can keep shrinking and playing with forced perspective, which I really, really like the idea of. Once I finished that, I was like, I need another first-person puzzle game that isn't Portal. And I've played many of them that are basically Portal knockoffs, and I don't need another Portal knockoff.
Have you tried Portal 2, Coleman?
I have. I've beaten Portal 2. I really liked Portal 2 at back in the day. I do have my Steam. Maybe I could play it again with some mods and muck around with it. But be that as it may, Manifold Garden, this is a first-person puzzle game, as I mentioned. It basically looks like you're in an M.C. Escher picture, which I really love that idea in video games. It's something that's not explored enough. Out right now as well, so I think I'm going to pick this up after the show and play this for
I'm
next week.
Definitely going to have a look.
Manifold Garden's actually already out on iOS, I believe.
Well, I don't have an iPhone, Dan. And also, it was made on Unreal Engine, so it won't be there tomorrow.
It won't be there for a better no, I better go and play that.
I have no idea.
I better go and play that bad boy.
It's probably Unity.
All right, Tim, next. Is Tim allowed another one?
Yeah, we'll go two each.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, so you probably told me something. So as I said, Bear and Breakfast. Look cute. Although Raji looked good, it looked a bit too similar to possibly
that was mine.
Hades. So I'll go with Bear and Breakfast. That looked cute and silly and kind of management sim, but kind of cute take on it. I could go for that, I reckon. It's an adventure RPG stroke simulation is in the description.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's part adventure RPG, part simulation, in that the simulation is you're a bear that runs a bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
And who has never wanted a bear and breakfast?
I mean, look.
A bed and breakfast and bear simulator.
Bed and breakfast is good, and you add bears to anything, and it makes it better. So bear and breakfast.
Does it?
There you
does
go.
It? How hungry is this bear you're adding to the situation?
Oh, he's ravenous, mate.
He's not going to be fun times. He's cooking the breakfast, Dan. He's providing the breakfast.
Really? Is he? Is that just? Is he just?
Well, he's providing the bed and
in.
The breakfast. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a very good bread and breakfast bear. That's how it works, Dan.
Right. Okay, Tim. It worries me. You run your own
I
business.
Like it.
You know
Dan,
that.
Dan, do you have another one?
Torchlight 3.
Yeah, that looks interesting.
Yes, Torchlight on the go sounds like a good shout.
It does. I mean, both of mine seem to be like Diablo-esque things. This has got a refreshing touch of the whimsy to
whimsy.
It, I would say, Torchlight. I've had a lot of fun playing Torchlight 2 on PC. And looks like if it's more of the same, it's probably going to be quite a giggle, I think.
There was definitely a lot of whimsy in this presentation.
I like a bit of whimsy.
Whimsy!
Is it dungeon crawly or is it... More kind of
it's essentially
action-y.
A dungeon crawler.
It's
yeah.
a dungeon crawler. You might be confusing it with Trine.
Is there lots of loot stuff in it, basically?
Yes.
I love Trine.
Okay.
All those are on Switch as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go, Tim mentioned it, I'm going to go for Raj and an Ancient Epic, which is an Indian game, but it's apparently not. It's an Indian game by an Indian developer, and it's all based on kind of Indian and folklore. Action-adventure game, little bit dungeon crawly, little bit action-adventure looking, and I really like the look of that. So
you don't see a lot of games and game devs coming, releasing products from the Indian.
No,
the closest
thing we got was the Uncharted spin-off, where a lot of that was on kind of Indian folklore and stuff, but I don't, it's Naughty Dog, it's not an Indian studio.
I think
nice
India is increasingly getting a lot of stuff outsourced to it to kind of help Western developers kind of, complete the assets that they need for their games. But it's really great to see that a homegrown Indian developer is actually getting stuff out there. And I think, that's brilliant from, it's exactly what indie games should be. It should be about getting developers who ordinarily wouldn't have much of a shout and getting a presence on the storefront to actually enabling that. So I think that's really awesome news. Really pleased to see it.
I think overall, though, this was quite a good little indie presentation, and there was some quite good news. They also did a little summary thing of some good looking games coming up as well. It seemed to have a good selection of indie stuff, and it's weird how we've got to a position where Nintendo seems to be the one pushing indies most heavily, because that was not the case at
that's
the beginning of
this
generation.
Got your first party games coming.
Bazinga.
Sorry,
well,
where's,
it's almost like,
where's
it's
Bayonetta?
Almost
like, where's Metroid?
Uh-huh. Yeah, indeed. It's still hiring for people to make new Metroid game, apparently.
Yeah, but I really like... I like the... One of the indie focuses on developing for Nintendo does seem to be, hey, our game's already out on PC. We're going to bring it to Nintendo and give you the option of cross-save, cross-play. I really like that idea. I love the idea of taking my... It's the reason I bought my Vita when the Vita was out. It was... I was sold on the idea of playing at home and then taking it out on the go, and that's what I want with my Switch. Although thinking about it, I guess I could just put the Switch in the dock. Shut up, Colman.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the... I think that's exactly, kind of touched on exactly what I was going to say, where it's kind of actually, I think the Switch is inherited the ground the Vita used to occupy, which was
the indie
as
machine.
A really, really great platform for indie games.
Yeah.
And, you know... I'm just still upsets me so much to this day how badly Sony mishandled the Vita. That deserved to be a great, great platform, but...
I found mine in the attic the other day, and I need to go check on it, because I heard that the batteries could explode on those things.
Expand and explode, yeah.
Also, my PSP's up there, and that's probably going to burn the house down at some point, so...
Hey, you know, live life on the edge, Coleman.
That's right. That is all the news we got for this week. There's other things that we don't. We're not doing. We're not doing the what did we used to call that thing? We're not doing the
points
other
of interest.
News. Points of interest.
Points of interest. It's so interesting you forgot about them.
I'm gonna flag a point of interest very soon. There will be new NVIDIA graphics cards by the looks of things, and I shall try and get other people's points to be interested in that. And also a new CPU architecture from Intel, which looks like it's gonna take the fight to AMD. Those are both interesting to me, but I can see that Tim's slipping into a coma, so I'm gonna shut up.
I've got an interesting point to add as well. Although
Ghost of Tsushima's getting the multiplayer?
Well, there's that. That looks freaking amazing. But beyond that, if you remember a game called Inertial Drift that we played, I think, at EGX last year, Coleman? Yeah, I just noticed before the show that it's got a release date of September 12th and is coming to PC and consoles. And yeah, it looks like they've fleshed it out nicely. And looks
well done, then. So. Anyway, the point I was trying to make is we used to do points of interest, but the whole idea of that was after doing these big heavy headlines and taking half an hour instead of the 20 minutes that we usually budget for the time on this show... We go, hey, here's some points of interest, and quickly rattle them off. But the rattling off seemed to be as long as the headlines, so it never really worked. So that just got rid of it.
Yeah.
Look on a news feed.
If you can't make it work, just bin it. Yeah, Coleman?
Yeah.
That's your attitude, eh?
That's my idea for now. We've got games we done played, and Tim should start this off, because you introduced your own little feature of the second opinion from the audience.
Oh, you allowing me Tim creativity again?
Yeah.
I didn't allow him, he just did it.
We thought this was a nice way of getting community members involved, but also like giving a second opinion. Like, not always, our opinions aren't always, you know, exactly on par. We try and make them.
But they
as
are
honest.
Your opinion.
I know,
people
as
have
honest
different
as
opinions.
No,
that's a good thing.
That's why it's nice to get a second opinion every now and again, Dan. So here we go.
Talking second opinion, that rash, you should totally get that cream for it that I recommend
good.
It. All right,
yeah.
Good.
Good to know. We had a community member get in contact, Matt, aka _M317 on Twitter. So there you go. I'm aware of Matt. Picked up the game. I spoke about the game last week. It is a game called The Ottoman Empire on Switch. I was possibly a bit harsh on it last week, maybe a bit ranty. Just because
what I liked is the developer tweeted out something like, "Hey, Ottoman Empire available on Switch now," and one of our listeners then replied and went, "Oh, big shout out to Big Red Barrel UK for talking about Ottoman Empire." So I don't know if they've seen that.
Oh dear.
And Tim's there going, "Why did you do this?"
As I said last week, most of my criticism and most of my anger came out of love. Like, there were some silly decisions made in the game design as far as I was concerned. But anyway, enough about my opinion. We're getting on to the second opinion. And yeah, I think Matt was a bit kinder than I was, basically. So, he said, "The game is pretty fun. The star rank for the campaign levels was an interesting choice. See, that was one thing I criticised, and he said it was okay. But the requirement seemed a bit high before being able to access the next world." Same criticism I made. "It's fine if you get 3 stars per level, but if you are..." Oh, by the way, I should have said before I went into this, he did remark that he didn't listen to my opinion last week, skipped over it in the episode.
Fell asleep.
So that it didn't colour his opinion.
Was
and
it,
he did
it lasted
thank me and the developer for the copy of the game as well. So,
18 minutes.
"But if you're not forced to replay levels over and over again to get enough stars." See, and that was the exact same criticism I made in a slightly more ranty, shouty manner last week.
Do you know, if you didn't do the interjections to comment on what he's written, then if you read this out like as written down, this would be the length of time you could have spent on your review for the show.
Okay, yeah, the customizations that you unlocked were nice to see, and the references to other games, Minecraft, the Voxel hat. See, I didn't pick up on that one.
What?
But I just didn't notice it was from Minecraft. Anyway, but I wish it was more than just cosmetic skins and gave you a bonus of some sort. Yeah, likewise. It gives you different jetpacks and stuff like that, and I didn't see they were just visual, so there was no real reason. Anyway.
Oh, okay. Really cosmetic.
It was just cosmetic, and it would have been nice if they actually had a gameplay effect sort of thing.
All right.
I really liked the characters you unlocked, felt different and played differently, not just the skin change. With different weapons and specials, it made it fun to try each of the characters to see which one you prefer. And yeah, like the character design was good, and I kind of liked that they were quite different and stuff like that. The only thing for me is it made some particular game modes a bit more difficult if you were a particular character and stuff like that. Anyway, the level designs were pretty similar between each of the levels, as most of the levels had three or four vertical areas that you could or needed access to. It felt like I was playing the same levels over and over again, just with a different skin and pickups in different locations. I ran into some issues with looking up the cat. The character would disappear, and if I was shooting at the enemy, it wouldn't always hit them, as well as being teleported around the level at times. See, that's a problem for a shooting game if it doesn't shoot.
Yeah.
Then it's just called a game.
And they said, just for Tim, the menus are clean, simple, and easy to understand.
Oh, thank God.
I thought they were a bit small when you were not playing on the TV, but hey, anyway.
Can I just show you, did someone make the obvious Constantinople joke at some point?
No.
Istanbul, it's not Constantinople.
Constantinople was the capital city of the Ottoman Empire.
Yes, Dan.
Constantinople.
It's good.
You can mention it again. So. I'm not sure it makes it any better.
Constantinople fruit.
Made to make your mouth water.
Keep going. Maybe we'll get. Anyway, but and like you said, overall, it's enjoyable with a few issues. Which, as I said, is generally there's some issues that I thought it could be corrected on. But yeah, generally, he seemed to kind of agree with some of the things and say it in a, as I said, less shouty and ranty manner than I did last week, basically. But there you go.
Well, well done, Matt. Thank you for letting us know your opinions. Enjoy your free game. I hope it was worth it. and thank you for Tim for probably butchering his words ever so slightly.
Yep.
So if you too want to send in a second opinion about anything we talked about, please do so. And Tim will give it a dramatic reading as best he can.
I think it's better.
I mean,
in
this case,
it was
Tim got sent two codes, and Tim got sent a code and asked if he could ask for another one to give out to the listeners and see who wanted it, and they can review it. If you want to do that in general, without if we get them again, then we'll do it again. But if you want to do it in general and let us know what you thought of a game we've spoken about. Now's your chance.
We were offered this as a competition. I thought this was a nice way of doing a competition and getting community members involved in the show as well. So it might be something that I'll try and do again if it seemed to work out okay this time. So
And next time Dan will read them.
Yes, I will.
Dan.
Why not? Hi.
Can we talk about Microsoft's Flight Simulator
2020? Yes, we can, because you tried to play Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 and nearly vomited all over the place, is what I heard.
I'll let you know my experience of this, because I got too, much like you, was very excited for this game before I had the ability to play it on a PC.
Mm-hmm.
So once it was announced, downloaded it, I've been sitting on it a few days, and then you happen to go, by the way, after you downloaded it, you've got another 94 gigabyte to install once you
certainly do.
App. I did not know this. I've been sitting on it for about 3-4 days, whenever the hell it got released. Loaded it up, let it install, left it, went and did other stuff, came back, went, oh, it's installed, it started up. Started playing, and then it would keep crashing.
Mm.
And then at some point, after resetting my PC, it went, yeah, you need to finish reinstalling the update, you idiot. I'm like, well, I thought I did. You started the game up. So started installing it again, and then
it's
finished.
Got a bit of a bug where I think if your computer goes to sleep, it doesn't actually handle that particularly gracefully.
Okay. So left it running overnight, got up in the morning, started it up, This time, not only did it crash, but it crashed my PC with some kind of memory error.
Nice.
And then when I eventually got it up and running again, it went, by the way, there's another 16 gig that needs installing of this
patch. Nice. So, yeah, it's a bit of a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd heard about the issues with the kind of downloading of the extra game data and kind of made sure my computer was just going to keep itself on.
Okay.
And it needs to be a foreground app, basically, in order for it not to poop the bed.
Yeah, I think that was a problem as well, because when I was installing the last of it, I went, oh, I'm going to quickly try this other game. And then every time I hit A on the control pad, it then pulled up Microsoft Flight Simulator's forums. Mm.
Yeah. So Microsoft Flight Sim, once you get it installed, that long, drawn-out process, you kind of pretty much dump straight into it. It's a Flight Sim, and it turns out flying planes really chuffing hard.
I heard going into it that you can tone down a lot of that, and basically,
yes, you can.
It kind of Forza Horizon it, make it into a very arcadey-type flight thing, which I thought that sounds fun.
I mean, it's all relative. In terms of what hardcore flight sim enthusiasts would consider, then yes, it probably is arcadey, but there's still a lot of things you need to think about. It's not just put throttle up to full, point plane in direction,
which is why I should try and get my dad to have a go at this and then let you know.
I mean, the one thing I would say is that the kind of the tutorials are, there is a kind of a tutorial flight school mode that is an absolute essential to do if you want to have any idea what's going on, because it kind of walks you through all the process of, you know, kind of attitude versus altitude. Attitude is where you tell someone to eat someone's dust. Altitude is how high off the ground that dust goes for someone to eat it.
Eating my dust.
Thank you, Coleman. I mean, do that. And, you know, the detail in this game, though, is just incredible. Once you get to the point of actually getting in a plane and taking off, once you've worked out, A, how to do that, B,
do the
real life LARPing of looking at a loading screen for 4 hours, because that's basically the same experience you'd have if you were getting on the plane in Heathrow anyway. The game looks incredible, and I can see that over time it's gonna, as the game grows and more content slowly trickles out for it, both official and through kind of indie developers and modders, you know, this is going to be quite an incredible game. You can literally fly anywhere on the planet.
Have you flown over your house, Dan?
Yes.
Did it look right?
Well, I mean, yes. Can I tell you my thing? Because I thought this would be all...
Do you want this on a podcast?
Yeah. Because I thought this would be a very, you know, Heathrow, Gatwick, you know, kind of public places to take off from. I grew up next to an airbase, Daedalus, in Leon Solon. And when I was growing up, they used to show you kind of bird's eye views, photographs, maps and stuff. And it was always blacked out because it was a military base. I don't think it is a military base now. It's a hovercraft takeoff because it connects to the beach as well. There's a hovercraft museum.
I was going to say, hovercrafts
anyway.
On a runway?
So when I opened it up, I was like, okay, so I'm going to take it from Heathrow or Gatwick. Where am I going to take off from? And
Norfolk is where I take off from.
I wanted to go over Gosport and take a look in Portsmouth and stuff. And then I noticed on the map that there was a dot by my hometown. And I zoomed in and I was like, oh, there's Leon Solon. Oh my God, there's the airport I grew up next to. Okay, I can take off from that runway. That's brilliant. And I did that, and I kind of had it on high spec and went, my computer can't do high spec. So I put it down to...
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah, so I put it down to high, thinking, that'll be fine. So I put it down to medium, which is basically all the environment around you is now mud. But from the shapes, I could kind of get a guess of, like, oh yeah, I grew up around there and all that kind of stuff, but it still shows you landmarks and things. So I got to fly over Gosport and go to Portsmouth and fly over the Spinnaker and stuff. And that was all really cool. And I did this for about 20 minutes. And then I went, oh God, my travel sickness. It's kicked in. And I had to stop and lie on the sofa and take ginger and wait for everything to calm down. And nice. Now I can't play Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yeah. I think
frame rate might have had something to do with it there, because I just couldn't play it on any decent spec that I wanted.
I mean, so there's a couple of things there. I mean, first of all, I mean, just to give you an idea, I mean, I'm not sure the specs your PC, but I mean, I've turned mine down to high graphics from ultra, and I've set the resolution scale to 70%. And I've got my PC's i7-7700K, so that's a bit old, but does have an RTX 2080 in it, and even that is still falling over. I think it's
funny though, because like from the runway, from the Daedalus runway, you can see my house, and I can still see my house, but it's a brown pixel. It's just a very odd view I've never had before, because I've stood on that runway in real life. I've seen it.
I mean, but I also think part of the problem is because it is caching so much data and loading so much, and you need it on a super thexy drive in order to actually help that out as well. Because I mean, I moved my install over to an SSD, and that has made that a lot better, but there's still quite a lot of inconsistencies in frame time when you're loading into areas with a lot of geometry going on. Clearly, there's some optimization that needs to be done, and it really is pushing modern hardware to its limits. But when it's on song and when it's doing what it needs to, I mean, frankly, it is an astounding looking game, and it is the very definition of a game you can play to chill out as much as you would like. However, the one thing I would say is that I don't think they've got their controller mappings particularly well sorted out at the moment. You need a keyboard as well.
Do I need to... Oh, yeah, I noticed that. Do I need to buy a Rhino so I can get the full effect, like the flight sticks and stuff?
You see, I found myself idly browsing Amazon trying to do... And I'll use a Timism here. Whether or not I could justify the investment in... I mean... I'm going to see how I enjoy it going forward.
But
I mean, I have actually mucked about with is I've got an Elgato Stream Deck, and you can actually bind keys to that. So okay. I've moved like a lot of kind of the gears up, down, flaps. I'm sure there's a flange in there as well. I've moved all of those ancillary controls to the Stream Deck, and that actually makes it a bit more manageable to play. But it is, it is a complicated deep game.
I want to set up like Steel Battalion, where it's just right. Like the, you remember the 200 quid but Steel Battalion controller,
the uh-huh. biggest
my
joystick
housemate
in the
had
world.
One of these things, and you got the flip up box and the controller. Like
always
the
to
thing
play
was
one.
The size of my desk, you know.
Yeah.
Massive thing. I remember when he moved to London, he used to use it as a coffee table. It was too big, the box. But yeah, anyway, I want something like that. I think the most enjoyment, because flight simulators, especially when they're this in-depth, they're really not for me. I think I'd get more...
Well, travel sickness, maybe.
Well, yeah, okay.
Maybe
but
not
again,
the best
I don't know how much
you.
Is that down to frame rate, how much is that is down to actually the experience of flying and stuff. The more enjoyment I would... Like, to get what I want out of this, I basically want to watch a YouTube video of someone flying over my hometown and stuff. But no one on an ultra-spec PC is going to be making that for me. Like, whoever's got that isn't going, oh, I'm going to fly over Leon Solent through Gosport to Portsmouth and up to Petersfield and to London. And that ain't happening.
Pay someone that's already got it 20 quid to fly over it and record it for you.
Yeah, I might have to. I think that's what it's
You've
going.
Got the bank account details, right?
You see, most of what you say there, though, like everything you've said about that game puts me off PC gaming even more. Like, they're the reasons I don't like PC gaming. The fact that I don't know what I'm getting in.
Tim, you're going to be able to experience this abject misery on an Xbox One.
One.
Series X as soon as that thing hits the shelves, and I'm going to be very interested to see
what the performance on it is like compared to PC.
Doesn't control the map well. How is it going to do well when you only have a controller?
Isn't this on an Xbox One already? Because it was meant to come to Xbox One.
I honestly can't see how it would run.
When they first announced, they said it was coming to Xbox One.
Yeah, not necessarily day and date, though, I would imagine.
Okay, because we did actually get a question from Ricky Lee, who said, is Tim going to give Microsoft Flight Sim a go on easy mode?
I would actually pay money to see that.
Yeah. We're all bundling around yours then, aren't we?
Except my demand would be that it is on the most realistic difficulty setting. Actually, Tim,
yes,
for Extra Life this year...
We've got some friends at Bandai Namco that want to see that too.
Yeah, exactly. For Extra Life this year, from scratch, I want to see you get a Boeing 737 to take off from Heathrow.
And then if you survive
you've got to start
that, Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yeah. From scratch, that's what I want to see. That is your goal for Extra Life this year, is to work out how that happens.
Yeah. We'll
Man,
see.
We paid like £800 and put my dad up in a Spitfire. Maybe we can do that for you.
Yeah.
Tim flying around in a Spitfire with a little Biggles helmet on, the goggles. I think that'd be amazing.
Snoopy style.
Put a GoPro on it, splice it into Dunkirk.
Seamless, like a bad pair of trousers.
That'd be amazing.
Anywho, Coleman, do you want to talk about the game that you have played?
Yeah, so I didn't pick up, it's on Game Pass, The Tourist. I have been meaning to pick this up on the Switch because this is meant to be very technologically impressive for the Switch.
Technologically impressive.
Technologically
impressive. Tell me more, Coleman.
Yeah, so this is a Switch game that runs at 60 frames a second and very close to 1080p, but running on a PC, so it must
run
better.
How close to 1080p? 1079p?
I can't remember. I watched the Digital Foundry video on this a while ago. I watched it a while ago!
1070p.
I can't remember, but this has been in my wish list on Nintendo, and then it came to Game Pass, and they went, hey, here you go. I went, oh, yeah, all right, play this. So this is a kind of Minecraft-y style, Vloxy kind of... you are a character in a Hawaiian shirt, sailing into an island, and this is Tourist Island, and from there you start your adventures. You go out and find different guides to go to different islands. Those different islands could be like party islands where you're clubbing. They could be kind of adventure islands, kind of Mayan architecture for you to explore. You could end up on a more Hawaii type island where there's people doing like haka dances and stuff, and it's all very adorable.
That shirt.
That's why I wore my shirt. Yes. I was getting to this moment.
Okay.
No, it's because I'm really hot, so I thought wear a shirt, it'll be airy. There we go. The game itself, it kind of starts off as this little holiday simulator. You can lie down, you can pick up coins and stuff along your way, and all very simple. And then,
can
as
I just
you
say,
go on,
sounds great so far.
as you go on, you find temples and stuff with hidden puzzles
Doom.
And secrets and stuff for you to go. Not Doom, or Temple of Doom. And the more of basically along the way you find there's an adventure that starts to unfold for you to play with. One of the more impressive things I found was there was kind of an island for shopping. So there was an island that you could go buy records or clothes and things. And it has an arcade as well, but it's like an old school arcade. And you go in and you can play like their version of Breakout and their version of F-Zero and... is a very, very charming game. I played about 2 hours of this last night alone and could not stop myself. I had to force myself going to bed because it was very late in the morning and I was still going on this game. It's very, very charming. I've heard if you use a guide, you could probably speedrun the thing in about 2 hours and 15 or 2 hours and some change. And then if you... like go through and you're quite savvy on puzzles and stuff, you could probably do it in about 5 hours and 5.5 hours. And this is kind of what I like out of my games. I like a game that is
aesthetically pleasing. Welcome.
Well, it, aesthetically pleasing, like, has a gimmick and follows through with it, but that doesn't limit the graphical, the kind of technical achievement of the game as well. So it's got technical and graphical gimmick going for it as well, and then it has all these different things that kind of mesh in together that make you want to keep on playing. It's very charming, but then it isn't a 30-hour slog. It is like a dad RPG, like South Park. You know, you're going to be playing this for 5 hours and you're done. That's good. I like that. So yeah, it's, if you've got Game Pass, then pick it up. If you don't have an Xbox or a PC to play Game Pass on, it's out on the Switch, and apparently it's a very, very, it's probably the, what I've heard is it's the most technically competent game running on a Switch you can get these days.
Excellent. I might, but the thing is though, it is on Game Pass, so I
it
might
is on Game Pass.
Just play on Game Pass.
Yeah, if you're watching the YouTube version of this, all the footage that is running throughout this video is of the tourist. So there you go.
Yeah.
Because I know we had, again, Ricky Lee on our Discord. He was asking how the Avengers beta played after us playing it. Like, all the footage we used last week was all from Marvel Avengers. So we throw it in the video version for a reason.
Yeah, I didn't get time to play the open beta last weekend as well, but...
I think there's another beta this weekend, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah, there's another one. There's a beta every weekend until it releases, basically.
Okay, that's good to know.
So, we want to give it a go. It made my PS4 melt.
Nice.
On that note, Ian Alexander Crane did mention that he'd been playing it as well and said that he liked Black Widow as his main, basically. But yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm a Hulk main, but when that game comes out, I'm picking someone else.
Yeah.
Hulk is my beta main. Yeah, I play with a girlfriend for the open beta, and I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I like Iron Man because of the flight. So far, I quite like the flight in that game.
We should try. I mean, we all have the beta. We all have PlayStation 4s. Maybe we could give it a go on Sunday or something.
Well, I was actually going to suggest that we tried Battletoads this week because that came out on Game Pass and there's three.
I have heard that's a steaming pile of bum.
Oh, I just installed that.
Not just a pile of bum, a steaming pile of bum.
Well,
would
I
you say it's a rash?
It looks funny
it,
and stupid.
Or, whatever the other one was.
I would say it's kind of a slightly nondescript, slightly flaky, slightly oozy thing. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I want to play it anyway. I've been looking forward to that release.
I'll give it a go. We'll try
to
get some footage for next week.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I think, looking at the time we've been rabbiting on for, this is probably about time to do the decent thing and put this episode out of its misery.
Oh.
But not before we remind you of some things. Tim!
Yes?
Gosh.
Gosh. Yes, indeed.
Any updates about Gosh?
There's not many updates on that at the moment, but as we've mentioned in previous weeks, Geek Out for Gosh is a campaign that we're helping to support. Go and give them some love, either on various social media channels. You can find it out on Geek Out for Gosh, or you can go out to the... Well, we've got the link. We'll put it in the show notes, but it's go to the Gosh website and search for Geek Out for Gosh. It's something where you can support people that are doing streams. It's something we were going to do something a little bit bigger with, and hopefully we'll be able to return to post-COVID, but it's really important to try and help charities, particularly hospital-based charities at the moment, because they're really struggling because most of their events and stuff that they do, they can't do at the moment to raise money. So yeah, it'd be really good if you can to either do your own streaming and look to raise some money for them, or possibly just support someone else that's doing a stream as well. Go along, you can check out some more details. Go along and check out some more details and get involved in that any way you can, basically.
Tabletop Tuesday still isn't going on, but Loading Dalston is available. You can go to Drink Relax Play on the Twitter to see how they're doing, or Loading.bar on their
I believe they're
website.
Open Fridays and Saturdays at the moment, but they will do bookings on other days if you speak to them.
Yeah,
possibly.
You can check with the owner.
Organise some stuff with them as well. And generally, if they're playing a board game, they'll put it away for at least 24 hours after someone's played it. So it's less
72.
They've got top men on this.
Yeah. Apart from that, might want to go back and edit because it's meant to be 72 hours. So you might not want to dob them.
I'll tell you something else directly from the government right now.
Right.
If you've enjoyed this show, then thank you for listening. We'd like you to get in contact with us on the following you can do. So on BigRedBarrel.com in the comments section, on Facebook.com/BigRedBarrel, and on Twitter.com, you can find us at BigRedBarrel. And also if you go to BigRedBarrel.com/Big... Yeah, try it one more time. If you go to BigRedBarrel.com and look on the right-hand side of the website, there's a link to Discord.
Yeah,
you just go to Discord at Big Red Barrel to find
us. That's where we're recording this podcast at this very moment.
Yes, and there's been a lot of new people signing up to Discord. And we,
I like
because
our
of
Discord.
That, we have some community feedback. Would you like some community feedback?
Oh, yes, please.
So, Spiky Chris, one of our long-time listeners, he says, discussion topic for the next podcast, and it's VR-related, so Dan will love it. He says, do you think the recent uproar about Oculus requiring you to log in through Facebook rather than Oculus login, which will stop entirely in 2023?
I mean, I hate Facebook as much as the next guy, but Facebook own Oculus, it was only a matter of time.
Well, the controversy here is Lucky Palmer literally said the words, this will never happen.
Yeah.
Palmer Lucky says a lot of things.
Palmer Lucky, whichever is Palmer,
they basically, they promised that this won't happen after the news.
That Facebook
happened.
Them.
But at the same time, it was bound to happen. I think it's terrible that they've gone back on their word. At the same time, I know so many people that have left Facebook and they've taken an archive of what's on Facebook and they've left and they've made a big song and dance about it and gone on Twitter and gone, I've left Facebook. Forget Facebook. I'm still using Instagram and WhatsApp, but forget Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm just
still
supporting the company through other means.
I mean, I am not surprised in the slightest. I mean, Zuckerberg is a slimy, nasty bit of work. And I mean, I have as little to do with Facebook products as I possibly can. And if I were to get into VR, which I have been looking at, Tim, I looked at a VR headset. Okay?
Ooh.
I sniffed one.
I licked it. It licked it. Then they threw me out the store.
That's not good idea.
I know, right? They threw me out the store.
Dan.
That's not COVID secure, you bad man. Get out.
72 hours.
exactly, 72 hours. I would probably choose not to go for an Oculus product just because I really don't want to give Facebook any of my money.
That's fair. I mean, the two of you aren't on Facebook.
No, I am, but I haven't logged in for about 10 years.
Oh, there you go.
I had an account for a while called Fakey McFakeyson.
Fakey McFakeyson,
and then, no, I just don't even have that anymore. But this does actually make me one tiny step less likely to buy an Oculus. Because I was tempted by the Quest, but...
I have mine literally just for... Big Red Barrel admin stuff, so I don't want my Facebook account anymore, but I have to have it for that reason because they started getting rid of Fakey McFakeyson accounts.
Boo.
Yeah, it's just one of those requirements. I think it's rubbish that they've gone, I mean, it's good that they've gone, hey, if you already have an Oculus login and you don't have Facebook, you're not required to use Facebook for 2-3 years, which in itself, you know, in 3 years' time, it will be rubbish. But for now, that's okay. It's just one of those things, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't like that if I buy a Ubisoft game on Steam, it makes me sign into Uplay every time. You know, I want to be able to use the service that I'm using. If I sign into Oculus, I don't want to have to sign into Facebook to make it work.
I hate things assuming that I have a Facebook account. Like
that too.
That just generally, it's just like, well, no, I don't.
And
now
less
what
people
do I do?
Are...
Like, you don't give any other option other than Facebook. The hell.
Well, it's Mixer all over again. They went, hey, we've got rid of Mixer, but all you people on Mixer, you're free to come to. Where'd you go? You got what?
Where
you gone? Yeah. Anywho, So I don't know. Business is business. You can't really fight it. It will happen. But I still think it's a scummy thing.
Yes, it is a scummy thing, but I am sadly somewhat cynically not surprised.
Yeah. Tendo Pete, he asked, how do you feel about the recent link of a new Prince of Persia game being worked on? Do you think we'll get a reveal at Gamescom next week? Judging by the time of the leak and it being a Ubisoft property, I can almost guarantee it will be at Gamescom because they love to leak their stuff just before a major event.
Why are they
I will take this in two parts. Part of question the first. How do I feel about the recent leak of a new Prince of Persia game?
Fine.
Yeah.
Mostly okay.
Question part the second. Do you think we're going to reveal at Gamescom next week? Yes, almost certainly.
Yeah,
most probably. Although, I
think I ever finished the last one. I found it in the attic the other day.
Well, didn't they? Because they kind of set it up to be like, hey, look, there's going to be a whole new big Prince of Persia story arc. Then they probably forgot about that.
Do you remember a few years... Well, no, last year sometime, I think it was, there was footage released of a cancelled Prince of Persia game that looked really good. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it could have just been a small thing that they didn't work out into a proper game, but...
It was a crossover with modern-day America. It's called Pence of Persia, and it offended far too many people.
Pence of Persia?
Pence of Persia.
They took Prince of Persia, and they went, okay, we're going to change it. And that became Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
And they went, okay, we're going to change it. And then that came out, which was the 2008, I want to say, Prince of Persia,
I think so.
Which Troy Baker, and it was weird and not great, and they kind of balked the death system and stuff. And then following on from that, there was leaks, people going, oh, there's a new Prince of Persia. Here's the new Prince of Persia. I think that was at one point a Prince of Persia that then became Assassin's Creed Origins. So Prince of Persia, this new one, it would just be Assassin's Creed in a year.
I mean, if they're making a game of the film, then I'm obviously on board.
They did that. They remade,
really?
They made like a Warriors Within type game and it had Jake Gyllenhaal's Prince of Persia in it.
I have a question. Has anyone actually watched the Assassin's Creed movie next to the Prince of Persia movie just to see if the plots are in fact identical?
Do you know what?
I prefer the Prince of Persia movie to the Assassin's Creed movie.
We should do that, Tim.
What? Yeah. Drinky.
Drinky, stabby.
Bad movie, drinky.
When we're allowed to socially bad movie, drinky, we should definitely do that.
Assassin's Creed, Prince of Persia, back to back.
We need to
find another one to treble up with that.
That's going to be awful.
Treble whammy of crap.
I have definitely drunkenly slept through Prince of Persia, and I know I watched 7 minutes of Assassin's Creed before I switched it off out of boredom.
Assassin's Creed is one of those films that I've fallen asleep in multiple times.
You woke up to actually turn it off.
I'll put it this way, they weren't speaking English at the start of the film, and I don't think they ever spoke English in the entirety of the time.
Are you sure you didn't just go on to the wrong audio setting?
No, at the start they're talking
Turkish or something.
Yeah, Turkish or something, and I think I just fell asleep at that point.
I guess none of us are that excited about a new Prince of Persia game then.
No, but we had fun ragging on it, didn't we? That was all right.
It was fun.
Though, generally coming round back from the top of the show again, finding it a bit hard to get excited about Ubisoft products at the moment, but hey.
I'm just watching the video game footage and it's me trying to play the F-Zero knockoff clone before I gave up out of frustration. Anyway, Sky Dark, he has given us the question of the week, or last week, because I totally forgot to put it in the agenda last week. Have you learnt anything from a video game that you have used in real life?
Two words, Surgeon Simulator. I think I need not say anything more.
No, that was all you needed there, Dan.
I think we go out on that.
I have genuinely used Project Gotham Racing to find my way from a restaurant to somewhere else that I was planning a date for. So there you go.
Okay. I jokingly put on Discord that I use the tellings of Mario Brothers to attack turtles that are coming towards me at a slow pace. Just jump on. Yeah.
Turtles, you fool.
If they're coming right at me.
if they get a good bit of speed behind them. Literally, they'll catch up to you in days. Days.
The kind of period where
he's sneaking up on me.
The kind of period where I started working.
Where'd you come from? Jesus Christ.
Way back when was when a lot of video game developers were making games that used a lot of... There were a lot of indie games that were coming out that was like, you've got to use video kind of coding logic in a simplified term. And at the time, I was learning a lot of different languages in technology that really, really helped me at the time. It's not going to help you learn how to make a website or how to make you learn to use web tools or anything at all, but it's kind of that logic system that strings together that you can kind of adhere to other things. So I found that really helpful. And also I used to drum when I was a kid and like went way out of it, and I got into Rock Band, and Rock Band's drumming kind of really helped me get back into the swing of things there. So
the
swing
of things, eh?
Do you play the drums, Cole, man?
I used to.
Yeah. I kind of used to play the guitar. Tim, can you sing?
Are we going for a Big Red Barrel
band? I reckon three-piece band.
Can we do Big Red Barrel Rock Band one day?
Oh,
I'm sure
mate.
We can source the equipment from somewhere.
Brady, where are you?
Brady's on drums. We know this from the 2 12-hour live streams.
Uh-huh. What do you do, Tim?
I will scream into a microphone if you want.
Aye.
So
butcher some lyrics.
Yeah, bass.
Tim's on bass. The most boring of the instruments in Rock Band.
I'll be on first grade recorder.
Into a microphone.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. If we play like Beatles Rock Band, then you've got to harmonize three microphones.
Ooh, that could be very bad.
I really liked that feature. No one else used
that
it.
That could be so very bad.
Yeah. I can see anyway. That going badly.
Right. Do the thing and end this show.
Can I just say before we go?
No.
If you've enjoyed the show, God help you. But if you have enjoyed it, then let us know by giving us a review on either Apple Podcast, Castbox, Podchaser, and Stitcher. We can check those out. We will read all of them, whether we read them on the show.
All of those have been proved in clinical trials to be a lot more effective than, if you're happy and you know it, clapping your hands. Can confirm.
Yes. And on next week's show, we're going to talk about DC Fandom.
Yeah, we are.
There's going to be a Batman game and a Suicide Squad game. And we're going to talk about Battletoads. And that's all we got.
Yeah, and I will maybe talk... I was going to talk No Man's Sky this week,
okay, and No Man's Sky Beyond.
Yeah, you
and
might be able to
Destiny
identify which bits of Beyond were from Beyond and which bits had come before. Because when I was playing it before, I missed several updates in a row, so I
mean,
had no idea
Tim,
what the
I'm not
going to
lie,
were.
This is a cool story and everything.
It's lovely.
But...
I loved it.
Right, let us go. So thank you ever so much for listening, ladies and gents. And all that really remains is for us to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
Yep.
I have been Coleman.
Have you?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Are you sure you don't want to be anyone else? You just want to be Coleman. You could be anyone in the world. You could be anyone in the world. And you choose Coleman.
My soundboard's crashed. I was going to hit a Dan thing.
Oh, God. Anyway,
buddy. There we go.
Hey, there we go. And, so thank you so much for listening. We hope we can inhabit your earlugs once again next week. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.